Touchdown, Red Raiders!
I deeply hope we beat their ass today.
And I'm going to tell you what, the tortillas were flying.
This is the Air Raid Podcast presented by Viva the Matadors. You're hearing the voice of Jeremy Gillen, and I have on with me, as always in these previews, Tyler Lucas. Tyler, what kind of car do you drive?
I drive a 2017 white GMC Sierra.
Okay, and is that because you're a family man? You drive such a large vehicle?
I have to, yeah. I had a truck before, and the car seat would not fit, so I had to buy another truck. So when people tell you that kids are expensive, you have absolutely no clue.
All right. Then Jacob is actually out this time, so we're having our recorder and producer Dylan Smythe step in. Dylan, what is your favorite color?
My favorite color, well, it's actually like the dead opposite of our school color. It's always been blue. Don't kill me, but yeah, definitely blue.
Okay, well, that's not
it's
as bad
like
as
burnt orange.
Oh, you know, I actually really like burnt orange. Yeah. That would have been the worst one. Or purple. I'm really a purple kind of guy. I honestly am. I've enjoyed purple for a long time. I think it's underrated, but I have no respect for TCU's purple. It's different. Okay, so yeah, be sure to stay tuned to the very end of this podcast because we have a special interview with Adam Green from Wildcat Radio to get us some deeper insights about Arizona following the preview we're doing here. So let's get it.
Preview podcast time.
Preview podcast time. I want to like get myself a little jingle here, but I'm not. Okay, this week, guys, we are week three into Texas Tech's 2019 comeback season. We are playing Arizona. We are playing our first Power 5 opponent. Arizona, of course, representing the Pac-12. And as a consequence, we're stuck with the Pac-12 after dark. Kickoff is at 7:30 p.m. Arizona time. So that's 9:30 for us here in Lubbock. And if you're Dylan and you're lucky, it's 8:30,
Ayo,
right?
8:30.
Yeah. So a reasonable 12:30 bedtime if we air it out. So hopefully we'll stick to the run game and we can all go home early or get to bed early. Arizona is currently 1-1 after a week zero loss at Hawaii and then a bounce back win against Northern Arizona. They won 65-41. We'll get into that box score later on, talk about the good and the bad of that for Arizona. The biggest headlines to pay attention to from especially that Northern Arizona game is this is an Arizona team that is prone to penalties. They've had 21 penalties in two games with over 200 yards penalized, something that so far we have not been subject to, which is extremely nice. Their time of possession seems to be correlated to their overall efficiency. They lost the battle of time of possession against Hawaii, and it almost showed up on all of their stats, especially in the third down success rate. But they own time of possession against Northern Arizona and unsurprisingly had a lot better stats across the board. So, yeah, obviously the level of competition was incredibly different, but I think there's equitable trends to follow. And, of course, we'll get into that. Tyler, is there anything I'm missing here that you found in your preview?
Not really. The penalty thing is what I jumped out at me. I mean, this is Kevin Sumlin. He's always had a trouble with boneheaded penalties. I mean, I think he kind of gave that off to Cliff when Cliff, you could see we used to have a problem with that too. Last season they had 95 penalties for 908 yards. That's just gimme yardage if you look at it. And I don't think Alan Bowman and this Tech offense is something that is that Arizona wants to give yards to like that. Just give them up.
Yeah, absolutely not. A team that is so penalized, I think Texas Tech fans can empathize with, if you will, over the previous decade or so. How many times, and we talk about this all the time, but how many touchdowns have we had called back? How many touchdowns have we given up? How many times have we stopped an opposing offense just to have that drive wasted on a foul or a penalty? It's a common occurrence, and it definitely is plaguing Arizona right now. So let's go ahead and switch right into key players for Arizona on the offensive side. And I'm going to be honest, it's kind of a list. So obviously QB number one is Khalil Tate. And this should be no surprise to anybody who's been paying attention to football for the last 4 years. Khalil Tate is this season 36 of 56 for his passing completion, right under the 500-yard mark. He's had 5 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. Right now sitting around a 64% completion percentage, which isn't bad. It's not that great either, and we'll get into that. And what Khalil Tate is known for is being the true dual threat quarterback, really showing out in, I believe it was 2017. This year, already 15 carries for over 100 yards and 1 touchdown. I would say thus far, given the tape, not the same prolific runner as we're expecting from the 2017 year, but he's certainly still a threat. He's averaging 7 yards on his scrambles or runs. So that factors in big, I think, on long yarded situation. He does have a backup. His name's Grant Gunnell. He got some play time against Northern Arizona, but really who didn't on that Arizona offense? Don't expect to see him. I don't expect to see him unless Khalil Tate gets hurt, and I don't expect Tate to get hurt. So moving on. Actually, you know what? Honestly, not moving on. I think Tate's going to be the biggest storyline for our game with Arizona this weekend. I don't want to get too far ahead from it. Dylan, what do you think that defensive coordinator Patterson needs to be doing on Saturday to slow down? I mean, because if we're going to be honest, we're not eliminating this Khalil Tate efficiency.
Yeah, I think utilizing the flexibility that we have in the back end, like in our linebackers and secondary, I think you're going to see a spy on Khalil Tate a lot. Like you said, Khalil Tate, 2 years ago, you would have thought he'd be in the NFL by now. Like, he was a Heisman contender. He was a stud. And it's not to say he's not a good quarterback now, but it's like, man, what happened to Khalil Tate? But he's still going to be a challenge. He's far and away the best quarterback our defense has seen. So it'll be interesting to see. It'll be the first time our secondary is challenged by a decent quarterback in Khalil Tate. So that's an interesting thing to look at too. But yeah, just utilizing our versatility and probably utilizing a spy on Khalil Tate.
That is exactly what I was thinking. My biggest question mark was the efficiency on third down. The third and long situation especially, all in on that QB spy. Because I think if we allow them to send their receivers just up the field and we try to stay in a man coverage, then he's just going to pick up however many yardage without an issue. I think he's too quick for our defensive linemen. And I think, you know, unless we have a quarterback spy, it's just easy yardage for him. Tyler, have any ideas?
Yeah, actually, this is like the Reese Davis game day where I throw out a trivia fact and I can't wait. 100 Viva Matador bucks to the correct answer. There are only 2 active Power 5 quarterbacks with 4,000 career passing yards and 1,500 career rushing yards. Who are they?
I mean, I think you want us to say Khalil Tate.
One is Khalil Tate.
That's correct. And what's the other one?
4,000 yards passing and 1,500 rushing. Justin Herbert?
Nope.
I think it's another J. Would it be Jalen Hurts? Would it be that bad of a luck to play two back to back?
Oh, it is.
We get
them
back to back. So yeah. And I'll go with you guys on the QB contain with the spy. I think that's going to be useful. However, when you look back at Khalil Tate's 2018 season, like Dylan said, he just kind of he had a so-so year after coming onto the scene and being a Heisman, getting some Heisman hype. A lot of that happened. He doubled his touchdown passes. However, he also threw 8 interceptions compared to only like 24 touchdown passes, which isn't bad. But when you look at those interceptions, more than half of those came against when he got pressured, whether that be base blitz or maybe just some edge rush, maybe a nickel rush. He threw like 5 interceptions, and it came at a time where he got some pressure and hands in his face. So I don't think you can just sit back and let him also dissect you because, yeah, he's not that great of a passer. However, he can sit there and be mobile and make things happen in the pocket as well, even when it collapses. So I think a lot of it is going to be, you're going to have to bring some pressure too. And that may open some yards downfield for him to scramble. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think it's going to make him force some turnovers and make some mistakes that our defense can hopefully capitalize on that they haven't been able to.
Hey, my guy KP likes to dial up the blitz, so let's see it.
Let's go.
Yeah. Send the house, Peterson. Keith.
Yeah, Patterson's all about the blitz. Now, I wouldn't go so far to say Khalil Tate is not a good passer. It's hard to rack up 4,000 yards, but we'll get into why Khalil Tate may not be as effective in the passing game. But let's focus in on the running backs right now. So obviously, RB1 for Arizona is Khalil Tate. Mild joke.
Not bad for running.
Not bad for running back. Arizona actually implements a number of running backs. I'm seeing 5 with significant touches and impact. So we're going to actually look at these guys with the most production from last week because I feel like they just kind of dumped their roster on Northern Arizona, and it gives us a good idea of what they might use going forward. So leading off, we have a man named Gary Brightwell. This is a junior known for his speed. Somebody Sumlin recruited simply because he was quick. Back in their fall camp, Brightwell even claimed that he could run a 4.3 40. Now, I don't know the legitimacy of that claim, but in their game against Northern Arizona, he took a ball from the 5-yard line and just rumbled down 95 yards for a touchdown, and it looked just fluid. It looked quick. It looked dangerous. Basically, if we give him space, he's going to eat it up as quick as possible. So far, he's accrued 141 yards on only 5 touches. Behind Brightwell, we're looking at J.J. Taylor. This is another junior who's had significant placement in the Hawaii game. With 24 touches, he's already racked up about 170 yards and 2 touchdowns, so a viable threat there. Then we actually wrap it up with a freshman named Darius Smith, who has 8 touches against Northern Arizona specifically, and made off with about 84 yards and a touchdown. So basically what we're seeing is an Arizona team with a lot of rushing potential here. Granted, there is a significant padding against Northern Arizona, but the gameplay for the Wildcats has been, at least thus far, rush heavy. Tyler, is there anything from UTEP and Montana State games that could glean some preview of how we are going to match up against this Arizona run game?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's a triple-headed monster back there. Sometimes it could be a four-headed monster if they wanted to, but I think a lot of their scheme is RPO run style to kind of lull the defense asleep, to kind of open things up in the passing game for Khalil Tate, which is going to happen. I mean, I think they're going to just keep, especially if you keep a QB spy with a linebacker or something, that's one guy you take out of the coverage who's just mainly got to focus on Khalil Tate and make sure he stays in the pocket and tries to make something happen. So, a lot of their scheme seems to be run, and then maybe throw a vertical shot downfield to try to test things out.
Dylan, do you agree with this? What do you think our main concern is with the run game for this upcoming game? Because it's not like we haven't faced teams that run, but you know, how is Arizona looking different?
Well, I think you've got the wrong guy. Like J.J. Taylor is a complete back to me. He's a junior. He's been their bell cow for the last few years. This other guy might have made this big play last week, but I'd be a little more concerned about J.J. Taylor just because he's an every down kind of back, can kind of do it all. But I'm not too worried about when it comes to run defense. We've only allowed 100 yards in 2 games. Granted, they were 2 less than favorable matchups, but they were 2 run-heavy teams that we shut down. So, like, I really think if we can continue to shut down the run and make their offense one-dimensional, make Khalil Tate beat us with his arm and challenge our secondary, then we got a good shot.
I'm certainly with you there. I am a big fan of trends, especially early on the season. And you can even look back a couple years, FCS teams still garnering at least 200 yards of rushing. We absolutely shut down Montana State's rushing and UTEP's rushing. So at the very least, we're still going to be holding Arizona back from what they've been used to getting so far. I won't say we'll shut it down all the way, but it's going to be a lot better, I'm expecting, than at least Arizona is expecting. So definitely not totally afraid of the running game, but there are viable threats there. So making Khalil Tate beat us with his arm, let's switch over to wide receivers. They have a bundle of talented receivers who've had good looks this season. Thomas Reed III, Tavion Cunningham, Drew Dixon, Brian Castile, Stanley Berryhill. I just don't want to disrespect anybody here. A lot of people have gotten in touch. So many options for Tate to utilize, but I think the rising star of sorts is Tavion Cunningham. This is a speedy receiver who, although 5'7", loves to work the defensive backs and just get around them. I connect him with Keshawn Carter. He's very much that athlete for them because he also works the track additionally. Unlike Keshawn Carter, Cunningham is their kind of general focus guy. He's a lot more of the game plan than Carter is for us. But across the board, here's some things I see that I notice that might be in our favor. None of their guys are above 6'3", and the tallest guy is Drew Dixon at 6'3". So I think it's a good mid-level receiver height that our defensive backs can contend with probably comfortably. And their average is about 14 yards per catch, which shows me that it's definitely a team that that their main focus is the mid-range passing. Not saying Khalil is not accurate at a distance, but he hasn't thrown a number. Dylan, how do you feel Texas Tech matches up against a visibly more talented wide receiver core in Arizona?
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting. Far and away, the best receiving core we faced this season. It's not saying much. But it's interesting because, like I said earlier, this will be the first time this year the secondary has been challenged. Like, the secondary hasn't been challenged, and I think Douglas Coleman even said it in his presser. Like, he's excited to be challenged by some of these guys. So while I do think, you know, you look at their box score and they've got five different receivers with six catches, so does Texas Tech, and I think a large product of that is just playing garbage opponents. So I don't want to say that that's like their deepest position group, but it is going to be a step up from what we've seen. But I think Douglas Coleman, Adrian Fry, and those guys, Zach McPherson, they can handle these guys.
Yeah, I'm gonna agree there. I think this is probably where we actually match up pretty well with them, rather than the rush defense. I know our rush defense has been really great the first two games, but it's against UTEP and Montana State. And don't get me wrong, it's nothing to sneeze at, but this is going to be a big test for our defense, and I'm excited to see it. I'm not too worried about our secondary and those corners. I'm just not too worried about that, and I'm definitely not too worried about, I mean, obviously Khalil Tate's not the greatest quarterback in the world. He's not Peyton Manning, but he can make things happen, as you can tell. And I'm not too worried about that. I guess I'm just kind of repeating myself at this point, right?
Right. And it makes sense. I think that there's a lot of good things that we can glean from our defensive prowess thus far. And yeah, Montana State, UTEP, but certainly the trends that we've seen point towards, you know, one, if we can minimize the efficiency of their run and force Khalil Tate to beat us with his arm, I do agree that I think this is an area where our defensive backs are comfortable with Garner. I don't think that anybody for them at the wide receiver position is just beyond outstanding. So I think we have really good people like McPherson, Adrian Fry, and others that match up well with these wide receivers. So Arizona has no fear to get in a shootout. We know that from just the way that their offense runs. They're, you know, Northern Arizona essentially became a shootout. They got ahead in the first half and then kind of shut down, but then had to pick it back up. They couldn't keep up with Hawaii, but they certainly weren't afraid to score points. But we know that Coach Wells isn't either, per his interview. He said this week that, you know, there's no fear in getting a shootout with Arizona, but we know that our defense would rather not. So the real factor in this game, I would argue, comes down to which defense is better. And we'll switch now to focus on some key components of the Wildcats defense going into Saturday. Now, senior safety Tristan Cooper said the following, said this following the Northern Arizona game. He said, this encompasses their defense for you. He says, "You just see how good we can be and then how bad we can also be." Does this sound familiar to anybody?
That's awesome.
It sounds like false hope. That's what it sounds like. Because you look at that body of work after two games against trash opponents, and you're like, yikes.
So that's one of Cooper's quotes, one of three quotes I've included, and each quote gets noticeably more confident and then cocky, and we'll get to it. So notice the humbleness and the lack of hope here. Okay, so their first half showing against Northern Arizona was commendable, with only 13 points and 189 yards, but the second half absolutely fell apart for Arizona. Northern Arizona almost or over doubled the points produced at 28 points and 253 yards in the second half alone. We can certainly attribute a piece of that to Arizona playing their depth chart in the second half, but to give up so much, I don't think so. A number of questions revolve around this defense right now, and a lot of them reside in just their ability or lack thereof to be in the moment. They are an incredibly susceptible team to momentum, which doomed them against Hawaii going down early and then nearly allowed Northern Arizona to make a comeback. Kevin Sumlin even went on record acknowledging that a defensive stop for either team this weekend is at a premium. So some key players that we've been told to be on the lookout for are sophomore defensive end Jalen Harris, who provides a lot of edge pressure for the Wildcats. Hasn't shown up too much in their box score yet, but Arizona fans swear up and down that Harris is their guy to pressure the quarterback. So especially with, I don't think that Anderson and Steele are back for this game. Feel free to correct me if I'm wrong. Look for Harris to be the guy to try to pressure Bowman into some mistakes. We then have junior linebacker Collins, and I don't know if it's Schuler or Schuler. I don't know how German he is, but this is their all-star kind of defender, akin to Jordan Brooks, just not as talented, but certainly a key piece of their defense. Look for him to be in the zone or man, although not as good of a man defender, but definitely look for him to be the captain of this defense. And then finally rounding it out with senior defensive back Jace Whitaker. This is an excellent defensive back. He's absolutely a ball hawk. He's already gotten three interceptions in just two games. Expect him just to be looking for more opportunities to create a turnover for especially a Power 5 team in Texas Tech. Tyler, is there anybody I'm missing that stands out on this defense?
Not anybody per se, but I want to go back to your thought about Jack Anderson and Terrence Steele. I think you'll most likely see Jack Anderson back. Terrence Steele, I haven't seen any confirmation on that, but I've heard that Jack Anderson will most likely be in the starting lineup, which would be great for you because, like you said, the only person on the Wildcat defense that's really done anything sack-wise is one guy, and he's got like a 1.5 sacks log so far. So not a lot of pressure. And I think where I read was that the Arizona contingent thinks that that's because they're – defensive playbook has been vanilla. I don't know if you guys have ever heard that before, but I certainly haven't. I've never heard of a defensive playbook be extremely vanilla. I've heard of offense, but not a defense. So I don't think so. And especially with the numbers that I see on this defense, I don't think being vanilla is their only issue.
Dylan, any commentary on the vanilla defensive playbook? Have you ever heard that?
No, and I don't watch Arizona enough to know whether or not that's true. But what I do know is our offensive line was the only thing I was nervous about after last week. You know, like we gave up pressure against UTEP. It wasn't a good look. But yeah, I hope some of those guys get back because that's probably my biggest concern going into this game is the offensive line. Now, they don't have studs on the D-line, but UTEP got pressure on Alan Bowman. Let's just leave it at that. But the defense as a whole just doesn't scare me. Like, if you look at these numbers, they give up 518 yards and 43 points in two games to Hawaii and Northern Arizona. That's bad. That's real bad.
No, how many yards did you say total?
518 yards in two games.
I don't know. Let's look at total yardage for a second. This is a team that gave up 595 total yards to Hawaii, and then 442 total yards to Northern Arizona.
Let's I don't know hit, where I got that number from. 1,000 yards in two games?
Yeah, there we go. 1,000 yards in two games. Dylan, again.
43 points.
Their safety. So here we go. The second Cooper quote. Dylan, their safety said that Hawaii was their warm-up game. Northern Arizona was their emotional game. And now Texas Tech is all business. Do you agree with that sentiment? Has Arizona actually turned around since giving up 400-plus yards to Northern Arizona?
No, that's a really bad excuse for having two really bad weeks.
They're about to do some horrible business, it sounds like. Tyler, do you have any comments on Cooper's outrageous quote number two?
I would just throw out, you're 126th in scoring defense, you're 126th in passing defense, you're 127th in first down defense, you're 128th in third down defense. Mr. Cooper, how do you feel about those numbers when they only go to 130, which is the lowest? This is a very bad defense paired with a really good offense, which is something that Tech fans are used to seeing, are extremely used to seeing, unfortunately.
Oh God.
As very recent as last year, maybe the year before that. I think really what it turns out to is that their defense is bad, just a lot of it due to the fact that, from what I could tell, their defense coordinator is hearing rumblings of being fired, and he's playing for his job this week. So that kind of scares you a little bit that they've got everything. It seems like on that side, of the ball, they have everything to prove. Because you know what you get with Alan Bowman, you know what you got with this offensive line, you know what you got with these receivers at this point, you know what you got with our running backs. I just think that our offensive line's main job Saturday night is to keep Alan Bowman clean, his jersey clean, and he's going to run that offense like he knows how, and they're not going to be able to stop it. They're just not. So.
That's a fair assessment. Texas Tech offense currently ninth in the nation with over 1,000 total yards. So I will let everybody listening make their best guesstimations on how that will, at least by the stats, turn out for the Arizona defense. Dylan, do you have the same sentiment?
Well, so someone rattled off their third down stats, and then if you compare them to Keith Patterson on third down, we've been on third down 31 times, and the opponent has converted 4 times this year.
We're what, like, third in the nation for that or something like that?
That number, whew, hot dog. All right, so here's another one for you. We've had 15 three and outs on 27 drives. Hot damn.
That is elite. I don't care who you're playing.
Are we talking about Texas Tech right now?
Well, let's gauge it back a little bit. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm really excited, and I really hope that keeps up, especially against a team like Arizona, which isn't going to be our toughest competition. You only have to look 2 weeks down the road for that in Oklahoma, but this will give us a great litmus test to see how far the program actually has come under the new Wells regime. But it's enough about Arizona and their trashy defense and their crappy safety quotes. And I'll give you the last one here in a bit, but it is time for the Big 12 Pick'em. It is time for us to wrap this thing up with some score predictions around the league and then following up with ours. But first, I would love to just announce the biggest winner of last week's pick'em was, and I admit it, Tyler and Jacob for picking Coastal Carolina to win against Kansas. So just
good
job to you, Tyler, for having no faith in Kansas.
Clears up.
Yeah, and of course, biggest loser of last week was freaking me for choosing Kansas to beat Coastal Carolina. I bought in on your crap, Jayhawks, and you failed me. Coastal Carolina has broken my heart twice in the last couple years.
If it makes you feel any better, I thought that the University of Texas was actually going to show up big.
Oh, we'll get there.
Oh,
I did too. We'll get there, Tyler.
Big time game, you know.
We'll get there. Okay, so we'll just fast track that one. Yeah, everybody, Tyler thought Texas would beat a very good LSU team, and L-O freaking L, he was wrong.
For the record, I picked Texas too.
Dylan picked Texas, but not publicly, so not as much shame on him. But shame, Tyler, on you and your family and your cat. Shame on you. And then also Jacob and I picked West Virginia. We gave West Virginia hope of beating Missouri. That was a lie. I'm so sorry, West Virginia. Your season is tanked. It's obvious. But you're still due for one crazy upset, and I'm still all in that that's going to be Texas. Okay, so let's go ahead and get to it. First up on the docket, and I hate it so much, but it is Kansas at Boston College. The line right now is Boston College by 21 points. Dylan, who do you think is going to win this one?
Probably one of the least sexiest matchups in college football this week. Just
hey, Boston College is 2-0.
Yeah, but Kansas is trash, and no one really cares about Boston College. They are 2-0. They have an impressive win over Virginia Tech, and they're going to beat Kansas because Kansas can't beat Coastal Carolina. Come on, Les Miles.
Less magic. Less wins, more like. Okay, Tyler.
Oh, it's BC all day. I don't think they'll cover, but they'll definitely put the beating on Kansas. Kansas is going to go all the way to... What is it? Is it Chestnut Hill? Chestnut Hill, Massachusetts? Yeah. Go all the way up there just for a beating.
Yeah, Kansas, you pissed me off. You really just did me dirty last week. So I'm sorry, Boston College, and they cover. And you know what? They just may score 50 on you. I don't know. I don't care. It's not my problem.
Kansas
anymore.
Is going to win this game now since all three of us picked against them.
Then I'll be back on the bandwagon and I will admit my shame next week. Okay, next up, and this one I am actually extremely interested in from my short academic stint at this university. It's going to be Kansas State at Mississippi State in Starkville, Stark Vegas. The line right now is Mississippi State by 8. Tyler.
Oh, man. You know, I'm buying into what Kansas State's got going on up there. I think Kansas State's gonna go in to Stark Vegas and pull out the upset. Let's go.
All right, Dylan. Speak some truth into this, please. No,
I was not high on Kansas State this year. I really thought they were gonna be in the basement, but after 2 weeks and a shutout last year, granted against Bowling Green, but a shutout against Bowling Green 52-0, it's pretty impressive. Man, I could go back and forth on this one, but I like the upset. I like the upset in Starksville.
Let's go.
The fighting Dak Prescott's. Yeah.
Oh, geez. Okay. Well, 2 for Kansas State and not 1 for Mississippi State. Listen here. Both teams have played nobody. Kansas State has impressed everybody with their offense thus far. But I don't think you just march in to Davis-Wade Stadium with all those rowdy SEC fans, elegant or not, really not, and all of those cowbells just going off. I am not seeing Kansas State walk out of this one not bruised and battered and going back to Manhattan with a loss on their resume. So give me Mississippi State. Give me the coverage. I actually think that Kansas State is a lot better than people predicted, but I don't think that they're ready to march into Mississippi and take on a Mississippi State team with a lot of powerful defensive veterans. Okay, next up we have, oh God, again, this is just depressing. NC State at West Virginia, the line is, anybody want to guess? It's NC State, 6.5. Oh no, Dylan.
This is insane. This is nuts that they're not favored to win this game against NC State. Like, total garbage.
At home.
You know, I do think they I think they right the ship and get it done at home, but I think it's going to be ugly. Ugly. Like, it's going to be 12-6. All field goals.
Oh, and their winning field goal pings off the outside and barely gets in. Perfect. Tyler.
Yeah, I'm going to go. I think West Virginia gets it. Austin Kendall rides the ship and gets the win. Man, I can't believe they're a home dog. That's amazing.
They really can't afford to lose this game.
No, they can't. They really
can't. No.
Disbanded
if they lose. Like, yeah, the season's over if they lose this game.
You'd be 1-2 going in a conference. That's nice. Not good for Big 12. No, you don't make any progress that way. Okay. And yeah, me, NC State, I think you're going to have a great year. You started off 2-0, make it 3-0, and I see you guys making a viable run in your respective conference. West Virginia, you got a lot of, just take the year off, recuperate, come back next year and try again. Next up, we have Oklahoma State at Tulsa. It is no mystery that Oklahoma State is favored in this game, but Oklahoma State line is only at 14 points. Tyler.
Yeah, they've got something more to play for now with the news of T. Boone Pickens. I'm picking OSU, and I think they'll cover.
Yeah, that's a good point, Tyler. They have a little something extra to play for. I think Tulsa has improved over recent years, and this is just a lame battle for Oklahoma. Second best, maybe? But yeah, Oklahoma State gets it done.
Absolutely, especially with the news coming Stillwater today. Hard news, losing a valuable donor and a valuable asset to their university. Not to mention that Oklahoma State has been on fire offensively this year, and coming up after Tulsa is Texas. This is certainly an opportunity for Oklahoma State to gear up and let everything loose before they go up against a very tough Texas team. So give me Oklahoma State, and they certainly cover against a good but not good enough Tulsa team. Next up, we have game day. First game day in Ames, Iowa. First game day in the Big 12. Ah, that's not true. First game day was in the Big 12 was Texas last week. I'm wrong. Second game day in the Big 12. Two consecutive weeks of Big 12 game day. We have Iowa at Iowa State. The current line is Iowa by 2.5. Dylan.
Oh, this is a really tough one because Iowa's a ranked team. Iowa State, once upon a time, was a ranked team. Iowa's coming off a shutout. It's against Rutgers, literally probably the worst Division I program in football. You know, there's not much to that 19th ranking right now. So game day in Ames, I'm picking it purely because it's home game day in Ames. I don't like picking it, but I'm picking Iowa State.
Tyler.
Yeah, don't want to go too far off topic, but when's the last time that game day went to two places that were back to back that weren't SEC?
Ridiculous trivia. That. Nobody would know.
I'd love to see that. I'm going to go Iowa State simply based on they got to get this win after the atrocity they trotted out there week one. So they got to get this win, and they've got everything game day there. It's going to be a great atmosphere in Ames, so they'll take it.
This is certainly a tough one to pick for a variety of reasons. Namely, that I'm worried about is that I've only seen one game from Iowa State, and it was not good. I've seen not two good games from Iowa, and it's a little better, a little more definitive on where they are. Yes, game day. That's always a big boost, except for Texas. Iowa State, Iowa rivalry is huge. Cy-Hawk rivalry is huge. It's in Ames. You can guarantee this to be a close game. That 2.5 is generous. I think that, oh my gosh. You know what? I'm not going to regret it. I think Iowa's going to actually beat Iowa State, but it's going to be close. It may be like one of those last-minute plays, and I may be wrong. It may be a last-minute play for Iowa State, but it's going to be a close game, so I'm just going to pick Iowa for diversity and because I just don't like Iowa State. Their fans troll me all the time, and I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. Next up, another hard one. It may not be hard for you guys, but I took way too long looking at this one. We got TCU at Purdue. The current line, TCU by 2.5 in Purdue. Tyler.
Yeah, I'm going Purdue. I was like you. It took me a while. But I want to see TCU fail so bad that I just can't root for him.
I think Purdue's a clear favorite in this game. I didn't lose any sleep over this. Like, Rondale Moore is coming off a 13-catch, 220-yard game. Rondale Moore is one of the better receivers, playmakers in the country. Boilermakers roll.
Absolutely. The over-under is set at 51.5. I think if you're going to duke it out with any team, Purdue is not the team you want to do it with. They have a lot to fight for this year, especially. So give me Purdue and give me at least a 7-point victory. You just don't get it easy with a Big Ten team. Next up, we have kind of a lame one. Oklahoma at UCLA. Oklahoma line. Does anybody want to take a wild guess here?
A lot. A mile.
It's a lot. No, not 30, but you were close. Oklahoma line is, or the line is at Oklahoma, 23.5 points. Dylan, who do you pick?
You know, 2 years ago when like Chip Kelly was hired, you probably would have circled this matchup and been like, oh my God, it's going to be a good one. But Chip's 0-2 going into this game, and he's going to get smacked by Lincoln Riley, the future head coach of the Dallas Cowboys.
Mark it here. All right, Tyler.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with Dylan. OU, I think they'll cover, actually, because Chip Kelly's got a mess on his hands, man. He's got a mess out there. So, yeah, they'll cover.
It's a 2-0 team versus an 0-2 team. It seems all too easy. And it is. Jalen Hurts is on a rampage. He is like, what is it called? The Eye of the Jew from, what's that movie? Oktoberfest. Except he's not Jewish. That's not a real thing.
This is a family-friendly podcast.
Hey, there's nothing not family-friendly about Jewish people. We can't talk about them. Either way, Jalen Hurts is on a rampage to get back to fighting Alabama, which I'm assuming his MO is to meet them in the championship game and beat them. Show them, you should have played me. So UCLA is just another in a long list of road bumps for, not even a road bump, just a half bump for Oklahoma here. They're going to cover easy peasy. Jalen Hurts doesn't play in the second half. That's my call. Next up, we have a wounded Texas team going against Rice. And the line is Texas 31.5. Tyler, you still got your horns up here?
No, but I read a interesting article about the whole John F. Kennedy saying, why does Texas play Rice? That's my John F. Kennedy impersonation, if anybody wants to know. But yeah, it got me fired up.
It was awful.
I think I'm going to take Texas, but Rice to cover.
Interesting. All right, Dylan.
I remember once upon a time I saw Houston play or Texas play Rice in Houston, and Garrett Gilbert struggled against a quarterback led by, he was a graduate from my high school, Vista Ridge High School, actually. And if you know anything about Vista Ridge High School, we're historically terrible about.
You got it.
Wow. If you know anything about Vista Ridge High School, we're historically bad at football. So it was surprising, but they don't struggle with Rice this time. Texas rolls.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you, Dylan. I think that after that game, there's a lot of pent-up stress, and a team like Rice that's 0-2 right now in the season, they're just not ready for what Texas is about to bring with an angry Tom Herman coming in. They'll deal handily. But that game certainly doesn't matter, because the last game on our docket, the most important game of the week, probably the most monumentous game of the season for Texas Tech, is this Texas Tech matchup at Arizona. The current line, Texas Tech by 2.5. Why are all these 2.5 points? It's like nobody wants to decide either way.
Because when did field goals start counting for 2.5?
Right, exactly. Doesn't make sense. Math math is stupid. No reason to learn it. All right, Tyler, who do you have? And what are your keys to the game for Texas Tech?
Keys to the game are going to be keep Alan Bowman relatively clean in the pocket, give him a pocket to throw from.
You used Alan Bowman last week and boo, pick something else.
Man, I said keep Alan Bowman healthy last weekend.
No, I told you, you can only use it once.
All right. So I guess the keys to the game is just let Kevin Sumlin be Kevin Sumlin and find a way to lose this game. And then also take advantage of their penalties. This team isn't going to wake up and be the 2000s Baltimore Ravens. So they're not going to have just some overnight epiphany and learn how to play defense. And they're not going to learn how to not commit penalties, dumb penalties at dumb times. So take advantage of that, and you're definitely going to walk away. I think with a 52-45 win, I think you cover. and I think you gotta hammer the over on this one. Hammer the over. Bet the mortgage. Just do it. Just get it out. You don't want the mortgage anyway. Just bet it.
Dylan, keys to the game and your prediction.
Oh, I think keeping Alan Bowman upright. Oh,
keeping him straight up and down.
That is a solid answer. Like, you have to protect your best player. But I think our offense has to go out and thrash this Arizona defense, and I really expect them to. Like, I don't think this is going to be the shootout everyone thinks it's going to be. I think we could hold Khalil Tate to maybe two or three scores. So give me the Red Raiders 45-27.
That's a very familiar prediction for me. Doesn't take me long to think about this one. I am all in on Texas Tech's defense. I'm not all in on like being a top 10 defense. That's ridiculous. I'm sure we'll get put in our place here through conference, but this is certainly a change defense in my eyes. It's a lot of trends, like I was mentioning earlier, that we can see from these first two games that certainly are making a larger impact. Kevin Sumlin hit it right on the head. Whoever gets the most turnovers in this game, that's the premium. My key to the game is going to be Texas Tech has to get their first turnover of the season in this game. We're going to have plenty of pressure on Khalil Tate. That's obvious by the way that Northern Arizona was able to do so. But we need to make him make a mistake so that we can get a turnover or even a fumble. At some point, we're going to have to stop Arizona defensively. And with the numbers that we have now, that doesn't seem too far out of reach. Now, if we are looking at some bullcrap straight in the eye and we have made no progress, then all of this falls flat on its face. But the keys to the game is proving to everybody, because this will be on ESPN, so a lot more people are going to be watching this, that Texas Tech's defense is a lot better than it was last year, and it's prepared to at least uphold the offensive success a little better. So I am right on the money with Dylan. I think this will be a lot larger of a disparity than it is on the line. So give me Texas Tech 45. Give me Arizona 27. Texas Tech defense shows up, and Khalil Tate solidarity doesn't show right out. Tyler, you're on your own. Your prediction sucks. It's good, but it sucks.
Suck it.
Well, that would about do it for us today. If you've enjoyed this preview, then be sure to like, subscribe, give us some comments. We love the feedback. You can also, of course, find previous and future episodes of the Air Raid podcast on your favorite streaming medium. For Dylan, where can they find you online?
Find me at the Air Raid Podcast Twitter, at Air Raid Podcast.
Right. For Tyler, where can they find you online?
I am at TylerL_VTM.
You still looking for the Popeye sandwich?
You damn right I am, dude.
It's talking about free stuff on Twitter. If you want to help me out with some free little Debbies, you could follow me at DylanSmike92. That's fine.
Right. And
We're trying to lock up the Little Debbie market and the Popeye's chicken sandwich market. Let's get it.
We're looking for all the things that would make you spend an unreasonable time on the pot right here on View of the Matadors. So for Dylan, Tyler, and myself, this has been the preview pod for Arizona. Stay wrecked, people. Also, just to leave you guys with something fun, Tristan Cooper's third and final quote, he said, "The same people talking mess today will be on our bandwagon after we beat Texas Tech." Take that going into your tailgating. Everybody have a good game and stay wrecked.